All right. You got JP here.
Aaron.
It is January 7th. We're 1 week into the new year of 2015. It's been a while. We've been on hiatus. It's been my fault.
No.
That's kind of my fault.
Well, you almost died. What were you doing? A bathroom.
Doing a bathroom. Yeah. I did almost die.
Yeah.
It was a heinous event. But the bathroom's looking great. It's looking great. We got all kinds of lights everywhere and fresh new tile. Took that son of a bitch down to the floorboards, put new stuff in. And
100% done?
I'm going to say 97.
97.
No, you know, it's that ticky-tack stuff that kind of takes the longest.
Yeah.
You know, because like you get to the very end, you're already fucking beat. You're worn out. You're burnt out. You just don't give a fuck anymore. But you say, yeah, you got to cover up those nail holes. Got to, you know, seal that grout.
Would you say it's kind of like watching Among the Tombstones?
not that bad, but we're getting close. We're getting close. We're going to be talking about a lot of fucking movies tonight. Aaron, what have you seen? You've seen a few movies.
Just a couple that The Imitation Game most recently, and then I don't think we talked about Interstellar.
We did not talk about Interstellar. Those are the two big ones
I'm going to
talk about. Well, why don't you start out with take Interstellar.
Interstellar. Really great. Really great movie. Good sci-fi. We're about the spoilers here, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, it's your own fucking fault for listening to us.
Yeah, how dare you, you fucks. How dare you?
You'll fuck.
Yeah, so they go out and travel, and it's, I don't know if it's in physics, if it's accurate. I know some parts weren't, but the most interesting part I took out of this is when they went through the wormhole portal, and they got to the other side, and they had to do kind of a quick burn close to the black hole. They lost 27 years of their life, and I thought that was really neat.
To them, it was like, what, an hour?
Yeah, but to people on Earth, due to relativity, it was about 27 years.
Yeah.
And then he got all these tapes from his children all growing up and seeing all of their problems. They were grown up. He had his son and his daughter were both, like, looked like they were 20s, 30s.
Yeah, had children, and they're all bitter and shit because, you know, dad just fucking disappeared. I'll be back in a few minutes. Got to go to the Cosmos.
Yep. He said he'd come back. And, yeah, he'd only been gone for, a couple weeks or so, maybe a month.
By his rationale, That's quantum physics, though, right there, man.
Yeah.
Quantum physics, just two knuckles deep, man. Yeah. It doesn't give a shit whether it's comfortable or not.
Relativity. I mean, you're going.
Yeah. Einstein had a shit together when he was talking about that.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. And everybody thought he was nuts.
Well, he was kind of nuts, but you got to be nuts to actually make those breakthroughs.
Yep, that's true. And he didn't even know anything about quantum.
Not really the quantum level.
If he would have seen the quantum level,
maybe he did. He just didn't know how to put it into words to where us lower,
that's true.
Brain pans would understand.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. The longer they
stayed. And Matthew McConaughey was fantastic.
Oh, God, he's great.
He's just, I like his, I like everything Matthew McConaughey's ever done, right?
Whoa, really?
Well, no. I mean, he's enjoyable to watch, right? When he was back at Footloose and Fancy Free and doing the rom coms and the, and the what was that? The first big one that put him on the map was, work with me.
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused, yeah. I like high school girls.
All right.
Yeah, no, he was, what I like about it is the fact that he, you know, there's some actors that they do the rom-com scene or they do that comedic stuff and they don't break out of it. They never break out of it, you know, but his dramatic stuff, I think, surpasses anything. Well, look at True Detectives with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah, that was
great. I mean, holy fuck, could you ever imagine that coming out of him? Yeah, we saw the Dallas Buyers Club, and then there's Mud. Oh, and then, what was the Texas Cop one where he plays,
I don't know that one.
Killer Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, where he plays a sheriff. Who also does Murder for Hire and a little Moonlighting.
Of course.
But it's good because, I mean, that was the first breakout movie I saw for, crossover movie for Matthew McConaughey because he went from, you know, rom-com guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see Killer Joe and it's just like, oh, my God, you'll never look at a can of peas the same way again.
Yep.
Trust me, when you see the movie, you'll say, oh, fuck, I see what he means. And then to see I think he's a superb dramatic actor, and I think he really has depth.
Yeah, he played this part really well.
Yeah, and especially when I don't want to talk about dwell on True Detectives, but True Detectives, I mean, he just had such depth, you know. Yep. I mean, just some of the stuff he'd say.
He was a complicated character. He did a really good job.
Yeah, broken, scarred, you know, but somehow there was still organization within that chaos that was his mind, you know. Either way, Interstellar, what are you going to give it?
Well, before I talk about that, I want to get your thoughts on when he finally entered the black hole and found the bookshelf. What did you think of
the bookshelf?
That? They kind of played on love as another dimension, scientific property or something.
I liked it. I can see where a lot of people had a problem with it because, no offense to the listeners, because I'm sure everybody who listens to this, all 10 of you, if even that many, are very deep people, and you get it. You just get it, capital I, capital T. But I think a lot of people don't get it. They don't understand the correlation. They see something like that that is possible. Mm-hmm. Thank you, quantum physics, that we don't really understand. We just know that it's capable of anything. You know, if you're, you know, look up quantum
mechanics theory.
No, the quantum blanket theory, and then there's the there's another one. There's two big ones out there that are pretty sweet as far as infinite number of choices that are or possibilities that erupt from one choice.
String theory.
String theory. Yeah, deep shit.
Yep.
But I liked it. I could see where he was able to they're like, well, how would you just get to that bookshelf, blah 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 blah, out of any all of the innate possibilities? Well, because of love and because of that connection, and because I think what they were trying to say is love itself is a higher force, or it's one of the governing forces that we have in our lives.
And people couldn't look past the time, how he was in all of these multiple time frames, so we don't understand that time where he was in a black hole, and in that place, there's no such thing as time as we think of it. Time is just another physical element.
It's not linear, and that was the thing they were trying to say: is time is not necessarily linear.
Yep.
And that being said, I like the concept that I did have problems with some aspects of the movies, and I'm not going to go into it, go into them too much, you know, but. I mean, there were little things that you're just like, whoa, wait, hold on.
A lot of stretches,
But you know what? It's a movie, and you have to have those petty conveniences to make the movie work. And plus, it's fiction. It's science fiction. You leave your fucking hat at the door, so shut the fuck up.
Exactly. And I would definitely say multiple views.
Oh, definitely.
Just because to catch all of the things
it's going to qualify. Yeah, you're going to need multiple views to actually understand the whole movie, kind of like Southland Tales. Movie for another day.
Yeah, exactly. He could talk about that for 3 hours.
Let's see. Multiple views.
Multiple views.
I'd say multiple views. I'd say buy it, because you're going to want to watch it over and over and over. Again, I know I will. I know I do. Imitation Game.
Well, before we go to Imitation Game, one more thing I wanted to bring up that just – we saw this so long ago. I apologize, people. We're just talking about it now. Remember the little robots that were with him?
And those robots were
and their shape.
Was so
that
awesome.
Not an homage to Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
That was totally awesome. When I saw them, like, Space Odyssey.
Yeah, which kind of gave you an idea of what, you know, just what the monoliths were or could have been.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So, anyway, Imitation Game. This movie was, I expected so much out of Interstellar, and I expected nothing out of the Imitation Game. That's one of my favorite movies. I loved the shit out of that movie.
It was. I'd have to say that was probably one of Cumberbatch's, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, best performances.
Yeah, you know, I came into this movie not liking him because the only movie I had ever seen him in was him as Khan in Star Trek. And I thought it was just overacted. But obviously that's the direction they wanted him to go. And this movie was perfect.
But
he played it.
As I said earlier, if you've read the books, because there's two books out on Khan, Noonien, and Sung, and when you read it and you see just who he was, I have to think that Cumberbatch read the books.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
he probably
because most people all they know about Khan is what they saw in old Star Trek, and then
Wrath. That's all I knew from Khan. Yeah,
and that's all people know. But when you read the two books about him, Khan had depth. I mean, he was very, very intelligent. He had his shit together, and he was smarmy, and he did think a lot of himself, you know, and that's just how he was.
Well, I mean, I gained a lot of respect for him playing Alan Turing. If you don't know what this movie's about, it's about the Enigma machine, which was this typewriter
that the Germans used in World War II.
It was a coding device.
To generate codes. And it wasn't just that they typed out codes, but there was lines they plugged into it that changed the coding,
and
the way it
cogs,
would code.
Too. They had little cogs they could take out.
And then, so every time, every day they changed that around. And then they gives other people the, here's a configuration, put it together, and then you can do the code. So.
Yep. So this whole movie was about this select team of mathematicians. Alan Turing, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, was one of these.
Did I say Benjamin? I think I said Benjamin Cumberbatch.
Oh, it's Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, it is Benedict. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And they had to decipher this code, figure it out.
And he got all kinds of heat, man.
Yes, he did. I mean,
because he wasn't doing it like that, you know?
Well, he built a machine to try and solve it, but it would take too long because they said, I forget the numbers, like 59 million, million, million or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 100,000 years of everybody working 24 hours a day. And
yep, and by then, obviously, it's worthless.
Yeah, the war's over.
You know, it was crazy. The whole movie I thought was going to be about how they, because I knew the history going into it. I knew that they had broken the Enigma machine, the code. And then they were quiet about it to kind of figure it out. I thought the best part of the movie was after they solved it and they got it. And
they had to make those hard decisions.
They had to make those hard decisions. He even said one of the lines was, now the hard part. Cracking the code was the easy part. Now it's the hard part. Now that we know we have the code cracked, we can't just go and fix all of these problems. The Germans are going to know we cracked their code.
And
we
have to let people
die. Yeah. So that I thought it was wonderfully done.
Now the part about the movie that... I knew that he died. I knew that he got in trouble with the law. I didn't really know what it was, you know, what it was all about. But then, you know, the police went after him for gross indecency for being a homosexual.
Yep. And then they gave him hormone treatment.
To castrate him.
Mm-hmm.
And chemically castrate him, which was just, it's like.
It fucked him up. It fucked a lot of homosexuals up.
But yes, that as a whole, yes. I mean, it did mess up the homosexuals. But for the country to do that to him, it's like this guy saved the world.
But they couldn't tell anybody about it.
Well, that's, I know. He told them the story,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yeah, I think a lot of his files were sealed. But this guy saved the world. To a degree, or at least ended the war
yep.
2 years early, you know, 2 to 4 years early. And think about the lives that were saved there. Now, you want to talk about physics and quantum physics and the possibilities, the endless possibilities that are out there. Well, just think, you know, 2 to 4 more years of war. Let's say we lose another million people mm-hmm. who would have lived otherwise.
Yep. It
just
goes
imagine
down the
those possibilities or lack thereof.
And not to mention... Without him around, how far behind would the computer invention have been?
Yeah.
Because he helped make that.
Yeah, because more than likely you're listening to this on your computer right now.
Yeah, or we're recording it on a computer.
Or recording it on a computer. Yeah. Actually, whatever you're listening to this on, yes. Well, actually, no, Marconi did not create the radio. That would have been Nikola Tesla. He just ripped off his patent, which was reversed later on, but we'll get into that on another show.
Tesla lover. Absolutely Tesla lover.
Nonetheless... Yeah. Any device that has any kind of a computer in it whatsoever, you have Alan Turing to thank.
Yep.
And what did Britain say? Yeah, you're a fag and you have to take this and blah, blah, blah. Now, Queen Elizabeth and all her coolness, what, in the 90s or something, gave him a royal pardon?
After he was dead,
after
right?
After he was dead, yeah.
Well,
hey,
good for you.
You're about 40 years too late there, yep. But thank you.
Yeah,
for the phoning it in.
And they kept that top secret, I think, for 50 years. It didn't
the
leak
whole
until
Enigma
the 90s.
Machine, yeah, yeah.
So we didn't even know who this guy was.
Yeah, in fact, the funny thing is we knew about the Enigma machine.
Yep.
But we didn't know he'd cracked it. And the thing is we knew we cracked it. We just didn't know what we did. We just thought, because there was a movie called Enigma, or The Enigma, not related to the band. And it was about them stealing an Enigma machine.
Yep.
And so... At the end of the movie, it's like, hey, we have an Enigma machine. Now we know the code.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. Which was not even remotely
stealing
close.
It was one of the very easy parts. Yeah. Now they had to figure
out. In fact, the beginning of the movie, well, we have an Enigma machine, but now you got to
That was an afterthought in the movie. Like, yeah, we got one.
Now you got to get
have
busy.
Fun. Yep.
Yeah.
No, people didn't realize what they had to go through to figure that out. It was insane.
No.
Absolutely,
I mean, it's crazy.
Insane. And they finally figured out it was in the weather reports is what was given.
I know, that
the
was
Enigma.
The constant. They had to find the constant, and it was in the fucking weather reports.
Yep.
So give it a rating. What do you think?
Multiple viewings. I'm going to own that movie when it comes out.
Yeah, it's ownable.
Top,
highly
top
ownable.
Movie.
Definitely, definitely ownable. And kudos to Khan.
That's right, yes. How about yourself?
Let's see. I, during my... my hiatus with the bathroom, I did have to quell the insanity a bit with some form of entertainment. And so I was too brain dead to use a computer or anything. So I ended up doing movies, lots and lots of movies.
Found your happy place.
I found my, well, kind of. Weren't that kind of movies. No blue here.
Ooh.
But we watched, let's see, we're going to run through these quick because we're about halfway through. But watch The Captive. Okay. With Ryan Reynolds, who played a straight role, not the comedic smarmy Van Wilder action.
Okay,
you know, it was, you know, it got 27% on Tomatoes. It had Muriel Enos, who is also in the
Enos.
Keep it.
Enos.
Who is? And I'm probably bastardizing her name, but she was in the Killing, which is a Netflix. Is that a Netflix original? Because there's like a couple seasons. A few seasons?
It might have been. It was either that or on one of the premium channels.
Yeah, it may have been AMC or something like that.
Yep.
But she's in that. But and she doesn't really smile much in this movie either. But it's all about the captives where their daughter is kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And then they find out that it's a pedophile ring. They think she's dead. But like seven, eight years later, they find out she's still alive. And she's still part of this ring.
Holy
shit. I don't know. We... it wasn't necessarily paint by numbers, but, you know, it was kind of a wrapped up happy ending. And, you know, it was okay. I could see why it got 27%. There wasn't really a lot to the imagination, but it was decent. Okay. You know, definitely a single viewing. You know, maybe if you're on the plane and it's playing for free, watch it.
You know? You have no choice. You're going
or if it's on HBO or something like that. Then we had The Drop. Now, holy fuck, was this a good movie.
Gandolfini?
James Gandolfini and Tom Hardy. Holy fuck, man. I mean, I thought Tom Hardy really blew the doors off with Bronson.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen Bronson, go see
Locke?
Fucking Bronson. Locke was another
was
one.
Good, yep.
Tom Hardy, he can carry the screen. He's really, really good. And the nice thing about this is at first you think he's just simpleton. But as the movie progresses, you see that he's got layers. He is a fucking onion, man. And when you get to the core... It's a fucking mind blower because it happens quick, and I dare say that movie's rewatchable.
To digress, do you see what he's acting in coming up here?
No.
He's Mad Max.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes, I have seen that. I have seen the trailer.
It looks interesting.
I'm hoping they don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping
they
Michael
don't
fuck
Bay's
it up.
Not involved, so we're good. So,
who's going to bring the explosions?
Some other guy. Explosions are not hard to come by.
Well, you got to mix the right amount of diesel fuel and get an oil.
God. So who else was in this film?
Gandolfini.
That's it, yep.
Another one of his last movies. He's had a lot of last movies.
Yeah. We're going to talk about another actor a little bit later who has a bunch of last movies
as well. But this was actually Gandolfini was pretty good in this one. His character kind of does a juxtaposition about halfway through, and you start to see it's funny because him and Hardy kind of both of them kind of juxtaposed. Okay. Who they really were, and the acting was very, very good. In fact, Tomatoes gave it an 89%.
Damn, that's tough on Tomatoes. Yeah,
which takes me to speaking of Tomatoes. I'm amazed that this.
What do you rate it?
Oh, The Drop.
Yeah, The Drop.
Rewatchable.
Okay,
definitely.
I gotta go see that.
Yeah, that comes up like on iTunes, and you can buy it for $14.99. Fucking buy it for $14.99. Right,
I'll go watch that. Yep.
Another one I saw, a little Liam Neeson, because I love me some Liam. But I'm used to tough guy Liam. I'm used to taken Liam, who moves so fast you really don't see him.
So you're saying this is a walk among the tulips?
Actually, a walk amongst the tombstone, which got 65% on Rotten Tomatoes. And he plays kind of an ex-cop who... accidentally, you know, he's shooting bad guys, a kid got hit, and then he gets, you know...
Collateral damage.
Yeah, he gets fired or early retirement or some shit like that, and he becomes like a special investigator, kind of, you know, private dick type deal. And, you know, it's okay. It's a single viewing.
Okay.
You know, you really don't want to waste too much time on it. I mean, if you're sick at home and it's on, yeah, it's okay.
it might make you sicker.
No, it would make you sicker. But it's not going to get you better. Another one we watched was This Is Where I Leave You with Jason Bateman, Jane Fonda, Tina Fey, and a few other people. And it's basically about where...
Rom-com?
No, family-com.
Family-com.
Kind of dramedy.
Okay, dramedy. Gotcha.
Dad dies, and he was Jewish, and so
that
he wants
matters.
Them to all sit... I'm not Jewish, so I forgot what it's called. But it's when someone dies, the family sits for like 5 or 7 days.
Okay.
And contemplate, you know,
Okay, gotcha.
Life and stuff like that. So it's all about, you know, the ins and outs and life and all that good stuff. And actually, it was a good movie. Okay. I would dare say that it's mildly rewatchable.
Mildly?
Oh, yeah, almost. Okay. You know, it says, yeah, I mean, it's not like Southland Tales or anything like that.
So if you watch it again, only watch like a quarter or half of it.
Yeah, and then you'll be fine. Yeah. No, but it was a pretty good. I love Tina Fey. I like her.
Yeah, I love. Yep, she's great.
I like how she, even in some of the first movies she's been, I think she's. I'm almost gonna say dynamic, but I'm not gonna really go there. But she's getting there. I mean, she's almost there.
Okay,
that's what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Let's see. That got 42%.
That really Tomatoes did not like it. Which, I remember the people liked it more than the critics.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, I thought it was much better than Walk Amongst the Tombstones. Yeah. Definitely better than Hercules, which got 58%.
Ugh.
With Dwayne Johnson. Which no, it's a single viewing. Did you see it?
No.
It's worth a single viewing.
I think I've seen that movie about 30 times already.
Well, yeah, in one form or another.
Yeah.
Skeleton Twins with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig. Really, really good fucking movie. That got 87%.
Oh, so Tomatoes.
On Tomatoes,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's a dramedy with emphasis on the draw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just the comedy elements. But yeah, also, what's his name? Luke Wilson's in that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. That was a pretty good one. What I say, I think it's a great movie. I don't know if I'd rewatch it because it has some really heavy, heavy parts,
okay.
You know. And. There were some. I think it would be more rewatchable because they intimated other elements that they never went and dug into. Mm-hmm. They never delved into some of these other nuggets, you know. That and I'm not going to spoil that for because it's just out. It's still kind of fresh. I think if they would have hit those other elements and dug in a little deeper, it'd be rewatchable.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Ooh, As Above, So Below. This is like a movie set in Paris where these kids, you've always heard about the caves and the mm-hmm. the caverns and all that shit.
Yep, under the catacombs.
Catacombs, thank you. That was the word I was searching for.
Yep.
Under Paris, and these kind of urban spelunkers, you know, hire this guide team to go down, and they go down in there, and then all this crazy fucking shit happens. Right, and it's still a fresh movie, so I'm not going to fucking spoil it for you guys. But
is it traditional horror monsters?
No,
you say that?
Okay, it's not traditional horror. It's not what you expect. And okay. I think one of the reasons it did so bad was, like I said, 27% was because it wasn't a traditional ending. You know,
okay.
Usually, your horror movies of that caliber, everybody dies.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't the case here. I think it was done. I think it was done very, very well, and I think I think the critics had their head in their ass.
They do.
Personally,
they do.
Time. When you were looking at that, did you see if the people liked it?
I thought the people's rating was higher than the.
I would believe
critics
that
because
people have souls. Critics don't.
What was the rating the critics gave that again?
27%.
Holy fuck! That's bad.
Yeah, not good.
That's pretty bad. Was Megan Fox in that or something? Or
no, that'd be Turtles.
I still have to see that.
I have that. I think we should watch that at some point just so we have something to throw at the screen.
Oh, God.
I've got Lucy down to talk about, but since you and I have just started that, I saw it in the theater, but I'm not going to talk about Lucy.
No, go ahead. No, it's fine. Talk about Lucy.
No, because it's old enough to where there'd be some spoilers. So okay. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Speaking of people who are still making movies even after they're dead, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in A Most Wanted Man.
Well, like I said, he was hopped up on drugs, so he needed a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, or he just, even though he was dead, his body was still going. It could happen.
That's true.
You know, you just mix some prions in there. You get some genetic.
Well, it worked for Joan Rivers, so.
For the longest time.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Who do we have in that? We had Philip Seymour Hoffman, Willem Dafoe, Robin Wright, no longer Robin Wright Penn, and Rachel McAdams as a little tree hugging, you know, I just want to do the right thing. That was a good movie. That was a really good fucking movie. Tomatoes gave it 88%, and it was well deserved. And I thought that it was one of Hoffman's better roles. And the thing is, he's done so many movies. Do you ever see the one movie he was in about 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah, Twister? Yeah, I saw that.
No, Schenectady, New York, where he plays a Broadway director who's doing this play, right? And he creates a scale version of New York City, you know? And then pretty soon the movie starts taking you on this journey to where you're not sure, is this the play? Is this the movie? Have we gone into the play? Now, is this a new movie within the play? And so it really, it's a fucking twister.
Did you see, he was, Capote? Is that the name?
Yeah, Capote, yeah.
Capote, yeah. I don't know the premise of that. It looked interesting. I want to go see that.
That's very good. He played Truman Capote, who was a thriller writer back in the 50s, 60s.
Okay.
And he did a lot of good stuff. Some of his movies were just fantastic. But this is him covering the these murders. There's been movies made about them, but I forget the name of the movies. But it's about these two guys who killed these people in cold blood, and it was just all about what happened. But he really sensationalized the whole thing, and so people were giving him shit. But he really made some, you know, he brought a lot of it to our table, so we got to see what happened. But it was in his language.
Gotcha.
But like I said, 88% on that one. Another one I saw was Fury. With Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf,
tanks, explosions, death.
Yeah, but it was good, and it was phenomenal actually.
That was fiction.
Brad Pitt has some fucking depth.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. I enjoy a lot of his
movies. I think Shia LaBeouf kind of redeemed himself. That pathetic, shitty soul he was kind of building there for a while.
He's still fucked up, isn't he?
Well,
not fucked up.
Aren't we all fucked up?
Yeah, he's still kind of doing his minimalist stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, but, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah, to each his own. You know, yeah, Tom Cruise is one fucked up guy, but we love every fucking movie he's in, right?
He's a great actor, but man, is he fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? I'd hang out with him.
Yeah, he'd be a good time, I bet.
He'd be great. Actually, I think as batshit crazy as Tom Cruise may or may not be, I'd hang out with him because you know what? As you can attest, I'm pretty fucking batshit crazy.
No, you're not Scientology batshit crazy. Eh. And if you Scientologists are listening, just break my right leg if you're going to break one. All right?
No, actually, they're going to go for both and make fuckers. You sign up for the classes.
Fucking overachievers.
Ethan Hawke was in a movie called, 78%, by the way, what Tomatoes gave that one.
Okay.
And Worthy, a very good one. Predestination with Ethan Hawke, that's a little time travel mind fuck movie. Boy, that's going to be a single viewing, but it got a 77%, and I thought it was good. And I say single viewing because once you get to the end and you know what's going on, well, at that point, why watch it again? Because you're really not going to – I mean, because if you missed something the first time around, you really shouldn't be watching those deep movies anyway. Yep.
Gotcha.
But that was a pretty good one. I recommend it. Definitely a single viewing.
Okay.
Oh, and the last one – I want to talk about is St. Vincent.
Ah, Bill Murray.
What's her name? Melissa McCarthy?
Who? I wonder. We should look up who directed that. I don't know. Go ahead.
Naomi Watts was in that one. And, of course, where would we be without Bill Murray? And there was a kid in there, too, but I don't know his name. And he was pretty cool in the movie. But
What's it about?
It's basically about Melissa McCarthy moves into next door to Bill Murray, and Bill Murray is just a classic asshole. I mean, just a complete fucking tool. And at first you think he's just a shallow ass, but then as you get to know his story and what's going on, you see that he's got layers. You know, he's like a fucking onion.
Okay.
And it's phenomenal. It's a great movie. It's highly rewatchable. It may make you cry.
Is it comedy at all, or is it pretty much mostly drama?
No, it's dramedy. Okay. It's definitely dramedy. There's heavy moments, but the heavy moments are definitely bearable.
Okay.
But the comedy is pretty – and I think what makes the comedy – I don't think it's not shtick as much as it is comedy in real life. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, we do every day. You know, like some of the stuff I do every fucking day, you know, that you have to deal with. You know?
Yeah.
Except he's just more of an asshole about it.
I looked up the director of this because I thought it was going to be directed by, I forget the guy who did Life Aquatic.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
This is Theodore Melfi. He's pretty much unknown. I Want Candy, Rochambeau, The Beneficiary. Yeah, a bunch of no-name movies, huh. And he got this one. So you say it's really good.
It's really good. Okay. Tomatoes gave it a 76%. I think it's highly rewatchable. Okay. And it's Naomi Watts, like you've never seen her before, man. She plays this Russian hooker, you know, and she does the accent pretty good. But she's had a bit of work done, but it actually works.
Okay.
You know? Yep. And Melissa McCarthy was finally human.
Oh, really?
You know, if you don't know Melissa McCarthy, she was in Bridesmaids, better known for... the chef in Gilmore Girls.
I did not know she was in Gilmore Girls.
And wow, you know, she was just this dingy, kooky, blah 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 chef lady. And you know, it's okay. I mean, Melissa McCarthy, she's funny. Don't get me wrong. She was also in what the other one called Tammy. The mm-hmm. other one with Justin Bateman, I think, where she steals his identity.
Yep.
Identity Thief, that's mm-hmm. the name of the movie.
This is 40. I think she was somebody in that. She was another mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's funny. She's very funny.
But in this one, she plays a single mom who's just trying to fucking make ends meet against just seemingly insurmountable odds. And so it was good to see her in a dramatic role.
So she played a serious role.
She played a serious dramatic role, and
wow,
it worked. You know, I love it when you have somebody who's usually doing comedic stuff and they cross over and do something serious. You know,
Steve Carell coming up, Foxcatcher. Have you seen
Foxcatcher? Looks like a great fucking movie, especially if you know the whole story of the DuPont thing.
Yeah, which I do. Yeah.
Great stuff. But, yeah. You know, another one, let's take another actor who did just the opposite, who used to be a seriously dramatic actor mm-hmm. and then moved into comedy, and that'd be Leslie Nielsen back in the day.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a while ago.
A lot of people don't know that he used to be a very dramatic actor.
I only knew him, Naked Gun.
Well, he was also in Airplane. Stephen King there was a little movie called Creepshow, which is all these little short stories. And he plays this kind of... maniacal sociopath who kind of buries these people on the beach up to their necks, you know, in low tide, you know, and it says the whole thing is like, I hope you can hold your breath a long time, you know. It's kind of but it was his first foray into, I think, being somewhat funny and moving out of his, because in the end he gets, you know, these people die and their ghosts come back and take him and put him in there. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing towards the end is just him screaming, I can hold my breath a long time. And the waves come in. But then after that, he did Airplane and then Naked Gun and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, and we're going long, but that's what we do. You know what? We have hardly digressed.
Yeah, we've had so much to cover.
I don't think we can call this a digression this time.
Yeah. Well, it's still a digression.
We could call it the anti-digression.
We did digress a few times.
Just a little bit.
Well.
That's like, you know, jumping in the shallow water and saying I went swimming.
We're back on again, so the next time we talk, we won't have, you know, 40 movies to talk about.
Hopefully not. But either way, you got JP.
And Aaron.
And this is The Digression, located in beautiful downtown Eden Prairie, where it's really fucking cold. I think it's probably 10 below
tropical.
Right about now.
It's tropical.
It's tropical for us, because like 40 below is really cold, so either we're putting on Bermuda shorts.
Either way.
We will see you again in 2 weeks, and this time we mean it, because we love you.
Be nice to each other.
Or not.
Fine.
Whatever.